We learned we're holding on Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, five, six lines from the bottom. We learned previously about how Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim disagree about whether the Isser of Gid Anasha applies to a non-kosher species of animal or not. According to Rabbi Yehuda, yes, because the Isser goes back to the times of Yaakov and his sons, and at that point they weren't yet Isser to eat non-kosher animals, and therefore it still continues to be for them now. We talked about, according to some Rishonim, maybe even the Isser of Gid Anasha applies nowadays to Bnei Noach. And then we said the Chachamim disagree with that whole premise. They said the mitzvah was actually given at Matan Torah, and it's just recorded in Parshas Vayishlach. So now we're going to talk about a similar point as far as Eivim and Achai. We know there's an issue of Eivim and Achai on both Jews and Bnei Noach. So now we're going to talk about, in a similar vein, whether the applicability of it to kosher versus non-kosher animals. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa. Avram and Achai knowed the behema chai of oif. The issue of Avram and Achai apply. Now, you have Avram and Achai is one of those mitzvahs that it says twice in the Torah. You have in Parashas Noach, after the Mabul, Hashem tells Noach and his sons various mitzvahs, including that now that you're allowed to eat meat, unlike before the Mabul, where they weren't allowed to kill animals for meat. Tosfos elsewhere talks about they might have been able to eat animals that died on their own. At any rate, now Hashem is telling Noach and his family, you're allowed to kill animals and eat their meat, but you can't eat achbosa b'nafshe gomer v'yseh chela, but you can't eat the meat whilst life force is still in it, which is Avram and Achai. Further on, we're going to talk about there's a pasuk in Parashas Re'eh that again mentions Lo Seichel and Nefesh and Abaster, which refers to Avram and Achai. So this is, and we have the rule, as we touched on yesterday, the Gemara tells us a rule in Sanhedrin that when you have a mitzvah that says twice in the Torah, once before Matan Torah and once after it, means it applies to both Jews and Bnei Noach. So it is over here that Avram and Achai applies to both. So the Braisa says, Avram and Achai noig b'behema b'chai v'oif. The issur of Avram and Achai applies to domestic animals, wild animals, and birds. Ben tmein, ben tahodin, and it applies whether they're non-kosher or kosher, divrei Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Elazar. That's what Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar are saying. The Chachamim Omen, where's the Chachamim say? No, ein noig ela b'tahodin. It applies, at least for Jews, and we'll see soon about non-Jews, but for Jews it applies only to kosher animals. Meaning, in other words, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar, if a person were to eat Avram and Achai from a horse, then a Yid were to eat Avram and Achai from a horse, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, apparently it would come out that he's chayv two double malchus, one for eating from a non-kosher animal and the other from Avram and Achai. Whereas according to the Chachamim, he's chayv only for eating from the horse. And Rabbi Yechon says, actually, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar on the one hand, and the Chachamim on the other hand, they both learn from the same pasuk, their respective opinions. Namely, the pasuk says, this is in last week's parasha, Rak chazak v'vilti achol adam, only be strong not to eat the blood. And Rashi points out on the pasuk over there from Sifri, I think, that the Jewish people were, up to that point, were addicted to blood. They developed a taste for it, in Mitzrayim maybe, and therefore Hashem has to warn them to be very strong to overcome that tendency of theirs and stop eating it. Anyway, so be strong not to eat the blood. Rashi brings another explanation that it means on the other hand, blood is something that most people are naturally repulsed by, and still Hashem promises and Pesukim great rewards for keeping away from that mitzvah. How much more so mitzvahs that a person finds it hard, averus that a person finds it much harder to keep away from. Anyway, Rak chazak v'vilti achol adam, only be strong not to eat the blood, ki adam hu anafesh, because the blood is the soul, lo yisurfa nefesh ha'maboser, and do not eat the soul together with the flesh. So that's, in other words, don't eat from the flesh while the soul is still in it, which is Avram and Achai. So how do we darshan from that pasuk? Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Savris now, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar understand it means kol sha'ata mitzuvah al domai, any creature that you have a mitzvah not to eat its blood, ata mitzuvah al evara. Then the pasuk is also implying that you're also not to eat any limb from it. While it was alive, before it underwent proper shtick. The hanik tmei and nami, now non-kosher animals as well. You're commanded not to eat their blood. Rashi brings from a Gemara and Krisus that the exceptions are shrutzim, fish, locusts, and people. All of those, the blood is not also under the general issue of blood that applies to everything else. Some of them, all of them, the blood is also for various other reasons, but not the specific issue of blood for which a person would be chayim paris. In the case of fish and locusts, there's not even an iser on the blood at all. You'd be allowed to. You're allowed to eat or drink the blood of a fish or a locust. You can have issues in modern science. You have to make sure that there are scales there or something, so it's obvious that it's blood of a fish. And as far as shrotim, they have the same din basically as the flesh of the sheretz. A person eats it, he's chayav for the same thing that he would be chayav for eating the flesh. And as far as human blood is not also midaraisa, it's basically also only midarabanan. Anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar say that pasuk is implying any time when a person would also daraisa to eat the blood and chayav karis for it, then therefore he's also commanded not to eat limbs from it while it's alive. Mahani tmei and nami. Well, then they say, well, the non-kosher animals also. Poyuvat matzuvah al daman. You have a mitzvah not to eat their blood after matzuvah. Al evorim. Then you're commanded not to eat their evorim. Not to eat their evorim either. Rabbanan savri. Where's the chachamim learn from that same pasuk when it says loisocha nefesh abbaser? When it says don't eat the soul together with the flesh, they learn that it means ela baser lechude. It means. The implication is, but you are allowed to eat the meat after the soul has left it, after it's been properly shechted, from which we can learn, therefore, say the Chachamim, Koshim Sore Mutter, so whenever the meat of it is Mutter, after Shvita, after Mitzvah Levorah, then you're commanded not to eat Eivim Menachai, the Koshim Sore Mutter, if it's a non-kosher animal, and even after it's shechted or otherwise died, you're not going to be able to eat from it anyway, Yat Mitzvah Levorah, and the Chachamim are going to say, you're not Mitzvah not to eat, it's Evorim either. So again, according to them, it's going to be also, but not on the grounds of Eivim Menachai, but rather on the grounds of that it's a behemoth meyer. So basically, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar are drawing analogy to the blood. Whenever the blood is also, so is Eivim Menachai, and the other Chachamim are drawing an analogy to the flesh. Whenever the flesh is mutter, Eivim Menachai is also. So the question is, Rabbi Yehuda Lomel Deikra. Well, why does Rabbi Yehuda need a pasuk for that in the first place? We've learned before that Rabbi Yehuda holds that one isur can be chal on top of another one under certain circumstances, and here it is. Leisa isur aver, the isur of aver and achai should come, leichol al isur truma, and it should be able to come and be chal on top of the isur truma, shekain isur in noyag with neyach, because the isur of aver and achai applies to bnei noyach as well. And as we've learned before on Kufa Medbez, Rabbi Yehuda holds that when you have an isur which is applicable to bnei noyach as well, then according to him, it is in fact able to be chal on a previous isur. Therefore, we said that even, for example, a person were to eat an unborn baby horse or something, and he eats the gid anasha from it, Rabbi Yehuda would be mechayev him, because the baby from when it started forming is already osur, and the gid anasha becomes osur on top of that, because even though the gid anasha forms only later, because gid anasha is osur to bnei noyach. Again, does that mean bnei noyach across the border? Doesn't mean the Jewish people while they have the status of bnei noyach. The point is that Rabbi Yehuda holds that that there is such a thing, that an isur that applies to bnei noyach can be chal on top of an isur that came into being beforehand. So the same thing over here. Rabbi Yehuda should say that the animal is tome, it's a horse, it never was mutter to eat in the first place. Now you have the fact that a person tears off a limb from it, now that isur should be chalan, and it should be chayv malchus for that as well. So why does Rabbi Yehuda even need a pasuk over here to tell us that the same rule should apply to Eivim Menachai? And the Gemara says, "Ein hafanami." You're right, as a matter of fact, Rabbi Yehuda does not need the pasuk. The pasuk is needed according to Rabbi Elazar. We know that Rabbi Yehuda holds that one isur can be chal on another isur where the second one applies to bnei noyach. We never heard Rabbi Elazar say that. Therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar, you need the pasuk over here to tell us that nevertheless the isur does that the isur does apply to non kosher animals as well. Now Tosfos points out a couple of details in this regard. First of all, here it's not just an isur that applies to bnei noyach; it's also an isur moisif, because again, the isur of Eivim Menachai applies to bnei noyach, as opposed to the gid anasha is applicable only to the sons of Yaakov. So it's an isur chomer, but it's not necessarily an isur moisif, as we talked about before. A bit of a distinction between those things. Now again, that's according to the shita that the gid anasha is not also to goyim in general. If you say that it's also to bnei noyach in general, then of course that logic wouldn't work. Tosfos also points out again that you can also have that the animal first starts forming and only afterwards do the gidim start forming, and therefore the point is So therefore, so the two Isurim come at different times. Next. So the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hochi. So we learn indeed, like that in a Braisa, like what Rabbi Yochanan says, that they both learn from the same pasuk, that the Braisa says, Eivim and Achai Nod with Behem Achai V'Oif Ben Tmei Ben Jehoda, that the issue of Eivim and Achai applies to domestic and wild animals and birds, whether non-kosher or kosher. Shenem Arak Hazak V'Vilti Achel Adam, as the pasuk says, only be strong not to eat the blood. And from that we learn, whenever you're also to eat the blood and there's a chi of kares involved, then you're also to eat the limbs. But whenever you're commanded not to eat the blood, then you're commanded not to eat the limbs. So says Rabbi Elazar. So we see two things from this. First of all, we see Rabbi Elazar was learning it from this passage, and we see also, as we just said, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, here we don't have Rabbi Yehuda together with Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't need to learn it from the passage. He says he already has the rule, he already has the known rule from before, that where it's an Issur Chomer, then it can be Chal on top of an Issur Kal. So we see that he's darshaning from this pasuk, and we see it specifically Rabbi Elazar who darshans that. So different Rabbi Elazar. Chacham say no, ain't a noig ela b'tachurin. The issur of Eivim Achai applies only to kosher species. Shenem alo seichel nefesh am abaser ela baser l'chude, because the pasuk says don't eat the soul together with the flesh, implying but do eat the meat when it's by itself. So therefore we can learn, as Rabbi Yochanan had said, kosher b'sarei mutter, whenever the flesh is mutter after mitzvah alevarev, then you're commanded not to eat its limbs. On the issur of Eiv Menachai, the Chol Shein started Mutter. If the flesh is not Mutter, Einatam Tzuvale Varab, then you're not commanded to avoid the limbs, meaning you can't eat them, but not on the grounds of Eiv Menachai. If they gave him a warning, if they gave Masra of Eiv Menachai, nothing would happen. They would have to give him the proper Hasra of that the behemoth mayor. So far that matches exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said. Now the Braisa throws in another twist. A third opinion, Reb Meir Omer Ein Noyeg Ela B'Behemah Torah Bovav. Reb Meir holds the whole issur of Eiv Menachai applies only to domestic kosher animals. So according to Reb Meir, it wouldn't even apply to kosher wild animals. Now, to be sure, Tosfos points out earlier that Reb Meir would agree that it's also because you have to shech them first. All he's saying is, would there be an issue of Eiv Menachai? Would a person be getting malchus for it? So then Reb Meir would say that no, only if it's a domestic animal. Now, why does Reb Meir say that? So the Gemara is going to bring an explanation, but first the Gemara brings Simon Shmuel Shila Shimi. The Gemara is going to bring three Amoraim, three Amoraim, each of whose first name was Rabba, but they have three different patronymics. One is the son of Shmuel, one is the son of Shila, and one is the son of one is the son of Shimi, and they're all. And then the Gemara is going to say that there's different versions that, according to which, they all gave the same answer, which is going to explain Reb Meir's opinion. The Reb David Tardo and the Seyach David has a point over here. He explains that the kind of deeper level Eivim and Achai has to do with the Midah of Yisoy. Then he has a whole explanation over there about how Api Kabbalah it relates to the letter Shin. So very appropriately, these three Fahamim all have patronymics, all have fathers' names that begin with Shin. And he apparently has the Girsa Rava, not Rabba, in their three names. And he points out that Rava is the same letter as Eivim. So they're all talking about the Eivim and Achai, and they're all gonna give a reason for it. So Omer Rabba Bar Shmuel Omer Rav Chista. So Rabba Bar Shmuel says in the name of Rav Chista, the Itema, or some say Rav Yosef, some say that he said it in the name of Rav Yosef. Va'amila, others say that it wasn't even Rabba Bar Shmuel Omer Rabba Bar Shila Omer Rav Chista V'Itema Rav Yosef, that it was Rabba Bar Shila in the name of Rav Chista, or some say in the name of Rav Yosef. Va'amila Rabba Bar Shimi Omer Rav Chista V'Itema Rav Yosef. Others say that it was Rabba Bar Shimi in the name of Rav Chista, or some say in the name of Rav Yosef. So we have three different possibilities. Who said it? And then in turn, each of them, we have two different versions of whether they said in the name of Rav Chia or the name of Rav Yosef, Rav Chista or the name of Rav Yosef. Anyway, the explanation is, why does the mayor hold that Eivim Achai should apply only to kosher domestic animals? Omakra, because the pasuk says, v'zavachtem v'karachom v'tzoydecha. The pasuk describes, you can shecht, and this is also in last week's parasha, you can shecht from your cattle and from your flocks, meaning the pasuk is telling you, again, when you're in the Midbar, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, you're not allowed to shecht an animal anywhere you want in the Machne. You have to bring it as a korban. But when you're going to be in Eretz Yisrael, you're going to be scattered all over the place. Then you can shift wherever you want. And the pasuk specifically mentions cattle and flocks. And then a couple of psukim later, it mentions this point about lo yisrocha and nefesh im abasa, which is where we're learning, evim and achai. So therefore, so Reb Meir would give it as an example, says Rabbeinu Gershom, of davar lavan min yonai. We have a concept where one of the 13 midos shatara nedreshes bahem is that sometimes we learn the details of a din from its context. So Reb Meir says the context over here is it's talking about b'chorcha and sincha, and therefore only by them is there an isur min haTorah of evim and achai. So the Gemara says, so we have three different opinions what the scope of the issur of Eiv Menachai is. Does it apply to all animals kosher or not kosher? Does it apply only to kosher animals? Or does it apply, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lazar, it applies to all animals, kosher and non-kosher. According to the Chachamim, it applies only to kosher animals. And according to the Meir, only kosher domestic animals. So the Gemara says, Amar of Gidol, Amar Rav, Machloikas v'Yisrael. This Machloikas is specifically when it comes to a Jew. If he eats Eiv Menachai from these species, is he going to be Chayiv Malkus for that, or is he just going to be Chayiv Malkus on other grounds? In the case of a chaya tohor or an oif tohor, then Rabbi Meir would hold, as we just said, that he wouldn't even get malchus at all. Abel ben noyach, but says Rav Gidol, if we're talking about ben noyach a goy, divrei hapul muzer ala tmein ketohorin, then everybody would agree that the same issue applies to kosher and non-kosher species, because after all, for him, there's no difference between kosher and non-kosher species. He's allowed to eat both of them. So the idea is, whenever you're allowed to eat the meat, then you're not allowed to eat the Eiv Menachai, since by a goy there's no distinction between a kosher and a non-kosher animal as far as being allowed to eat the meat. Then therefore, for the Isser of Eiv Menachai is going to apply across the board for him as well. And apparently, even according to the mayor, again, who holds that it's only behemoth tahora, there's a vachta, then the idea would be because the idea is that the Torah is telling you you can shecht and you can eat, but for a goy, there's no concept of shechting in the first place. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hochi, indeed, we learn like that in Abelaisa. Eiv Menachai ben Noyach Mozo Olav Alatmeim Ketahorim. When it comes to Eiv Menachai, a goy is osur and is warned not to eat it from Tomei animal, just like Tahor animals. The Yisrael and a Mozo, El Alatahorim Lovan. Whereas a Yid is only warned not to eat Eiv Menachai from Tahorim. So like, as the Chachamim had said before, that for a Jew, it applies only to Behemoth Tahoris, Behemoth or or oif tohor, not like a mayor who says it's only behemoth tohoris, and not like a behoda, and Rabbi Lazar who says it applies to tmeis as well. According to the Chachamim, it applies to all the kinds of creatures that have to be shechted, behemoth chayav oif, but only the kosher ones. So then, and the Braisa says that for ben noyach, though, it would apply equally well to the tmei. So now that last line in the Braisa, when we said, so the Gemara points out there are two different gersois of how that next to last word of the Braisa went. Ikad Amri Tahoira, there was one version that had the Braisa saying that Yisrael is warned only about Tahoira in the singular. And that would mean, so then it would mean Rav Meir, and that would be according to the opinion of Rav Meir that it applies only to Behemoth Tahoira. Ikad Ami Tahorim, and then there was a different version of the Braisa that had Tahorim in the plural for Rabbanon, and then it would go according to the Chachamim that it applies to Behema and Chaya and Oif Tahorim. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shizbi, Afanan Nami Tanena. So Rav Shizbi says, in fact, we have a Mishnah that bears out that point that there would be a difference between a Yid and a Goy in that regard, that even appointed a Chachamim and even appointed a mayor, that they narrow the scope of the issue of Evman Achai and they make it apply only to Behema Chayev Oif Tahurim, according to the Chachamim, or only Behema Tahurim, according to the mayor. Nevertheless, that we see that there would be a distinction, as Rav Gidol had said, where for a Goy, it would be the issue of Evman Achai would apply even to non-kosher species. Namely like this, the beginning of Masechta Taras talks about the concept of Niblas Oif Tahor. As we've learned a number of times, where if a person, a domestic or wild animal, a behemoth or chaya, whether kosher or non-kosher, the carcass of it is metame if it, in the case of a non-kosher animal, always in the case of a kosher animal, if it wasn't shechted properly, then it has tumas nevela. With a bird, as we've learned many times, there's no ordinary tumas nevela. With it, a person touches a dead bird, nothing happens. But specifically, when it comes to oif tahor, when it comes to a kosher bird, then you have a specific din that when the person swallows it, as he's swallowing it, then he and his clothing become tahor. We talked about this the other day, for example, and we learned about it more extensively in Zvahid. So the Mishnah goes through various dinim that apply to Nivlas Oif Tahor. The Mishnah starts by saying there are 13 dinim that apply to a dead kosher bird, which don't apply to a dead non-kosher bird. And one of them is, so mainly it's focusing on the tumah, but it also mentions a number of other dinim that apply to it. And one of them is... Ochol Evim and Achai Mimena. A person that the Mishnah goes on to say, the Mishnah goes on to draw the contrast with a non-kosher species, and the Mishnah says if a person were to eat Evim and Achai from it, Enes from a non-kosher species, Enes Sefer Gaboim, he's not getting Malkus. Because again, according to the Chachamim, Evim and Achai would not apply to non-kosher species. As far as that he ate a non-kosher bird, as the Gemara is going to explain later on, we're talking about there wasn't a kazayas of flesh on it. The Baal Tanura explains that on that Mishnah, and we're going to see that in our Gemara later on over here. So a person doesn't get malchus for eating this little scrawny bird that doesn't have a kazayas of flesh on it because it's a non-kosher bird, so he's not chay for even a chay. And another din about it, the Mishnah says, is that shchita is not going to be metaharet. It's a non-kosher species of bird. So we have to figure out regarding whom are we talking about? Elam of Yisrael, do you mean as far as a yid, that even if you shech this non-kosher bird, it won't be mutter to eat? Pshita chen shchita metaharta. Of course the shchita is not going to be metaharet because it's a non-kosher species. Now, you can't say that it means it's metaharet from tumas nevelas because again, a non-kosher bird doesn't have tumas nevela. The only tumas nevela by a bird is by a kosher species and only when he swallows it. So it would be meaningless to say, relative to a yid, that the shchita is not metaharim. Ela labnei b'nei noyach. Evidently, the Mishnah must be talking about b'nei noyach. So even if a ben noyach were to take a non-kosher species and shecht it, and then cut off a piece from it, before it stops moving around, he would still be osur for Eiv Menachai. Now, Rashi points out the distinction that the we've learned earlier in the Masechta that by a yid, the important thing is the shechita. Once the animal or bird is shechted, then you're allowed to cut off a piece from it, even while it's still convulsively moving around. You have to wait until it finishes moving to eat it. But meanwhile, you can cut it off while it's still moving around. Because for a yid, the cutoff point at which it becomes mutter is shchita, as opposed to for a goy, right, for there's no such concept as shchita for him, so then it has to be that it stops moving. So Rashi adds also, when it comes to a kosher species, then we would say even a ben noyach might be allowed to, because there's no such thing. Rashi says, as the Gemara points out, in other places, how could you have something which is also for which is mutter for a yid and also for a ben noyach? Not everybody agrees with that, but in any case, not everybody agrees with the applicability of that to here, but in any case, here we're talking about a non-kosher species, so therefore, even if a goy shechts it, he still has to wait until it stops moving before he can cut off a piece and eat from it. And if not, then he's chayev for Eiv Menachai. Miklal da also. So you see that by a ben noyach, the concept of Eiv Menachai applies equally well to non-kosher species. Okay, so there is a proof for a Gidol Din. So the Gemara points out in this connection, Ramani Bapatish, Romi Reisha Asefa. In this connection, Ramani Bapatish pointed out a seeming contradiction between the Reisha and the Sefer. Because first that the Reisha of that Mishnah says, we just said, the first thought of that Mishnah says that if a person eats Evim and Achai from it, he doesn't get Malkus. On the other hand, the Sefer is saying that we're talking about a dead non-kosher bull. And in the Sefer, we're saying that ein shchita metaharta, that the shchita is not metaharit, which implies that it still is also to eat. Umashani, and he gave the answer, as we just said, Reisha b'Yisrael, the Sefer of Ben Noach, at the beginning of the Mishnah, is talking about a Yisrael, when it says ein sefer garboi, he's talking about a Yisrael. And the end of it, when it says that ein shchita metaharta, is talking about a Ben Noach. So like Rav Shizvi's proof, and like we explained, according to Rav Gidol, that there's a difference in this regard between a Jew and a Goy, according to the Chachamim who say that Eiv Menachai applies only to kosher species. Poor Yid, as Rav Gidol have said, when it comes to a Goy, everybody would agree that it applies to both kosher and non-kosher species. So again, Ramani Bapatish pointed out that the different parts of the Mishnah are talking about a Jew and a goy respectively. Meaning, in other words, Rashi explains, so why did he bring up the contradiction in the first place? He thought that the whole Mishnah is talking about Ben Noach. But he didn't understand why. Why? Then how does the Mishnah work? And then he explained that it means that the Reisha is talking about Yisrael and Sefer is talking about Ben Noach. Marashon, in fact, brings a Gyusa in Rashi. The Gyusa we have in front of us in Rashi is that he thought that the Sefer applied to a Ben Noach, but then we just said it seems fairly obvious that the Sefer refers to a Ben Noach. So Marashon, in fact, says that the correct Gyusa should actually be Reisha to Ben Noach. He thought that the Reisha is referring to a Ben Noach. Well, then in that case, then what does it mean? Ein loikin, that ein sefer garboim, that a person doesn't get malchus. Okay, Goy doesn't get Malkus per se, but it means, in other words, that he's not punishable. But why? If in Shkita Metaharta, and then he realized that no, the distinction is because the Reisha is talking about a Yid, and literally, and Enos Sefer Gaborim is meant very precisely. In fact, he does not get Malkus for it, because again, the issue of Ev Menachai does not apply to a Yid, to a non-kosher brood. Like the Chachamim say, but on the other hand, when it comes to a Ben Noach, it does apply because for him there's no distinction between kosher and non-kosher species. Okay. Next, the Gemara continues. Omar Rav, Rav tells us, Eiv Menachai Tzorech Kazayis. In order to be chayef for eating an Eiv Menachai, a person it would have to be the size of a kazayis. My time, because the pasuk says lois soichal on nefesh and abaser, and in total, whenever we say you're not allowed to eat something, then it always means a kazayis. Now, what's the chiddush of that? Even though, as Rashi points out, the Gemara is going to explain further on that you have two psukim. One tells us you can't eat eva menachai, and the other one tells us you can't eat boser menachai. Not only you can't eat a complete eva, which a complete eva is defined as one containing boser v'gidim ha'atzomas, flesh and gidim and bones. And here we're talking about only boser, a person cut off any meat. You would think then that maybe in that case, then we're including that an aver, a person is always going to be chayav for, even if it's less than a kazayis. No, we have the general rule that achila, that ein achila, chus in a kazayis, whenever the Torah tells us you're not allowed to eat something, means the minimum is a kazayis. As we've learned before, there is a concept called chatzi shiur also in a Torah, that you're not allowed to eat less than that either, because the person is not punishable for it. So there's that. Yurina Shas, Rabbi Akiva Eger over here, refers to a Tosfos a few dafim ago, who gives a different explanation. We would have thought that Aver maybe should be also on them, should be punishable on the grounds of Beria, and was saying that no, you still need Achila, you still need a Kazayis. Okay. Well, the Gemara says Masiv Rav Amram. The Rav Amram says that in that case, I have a contradiction from the same Mishnah from the Sefer Taras that we just quoted and analyzed. We said Ochol Eiv Menachai Mimena. We said if a person, and we said this is talking about a Yid, eats an Eiv Menachai from a non kosher bird, Ein Sefer Gazarboim, he doesn't get Malkus, but Ein Shchita Metaharta, and we said the Shchita is not Metaharit, which we said that last part refers to a Goy, that even the Shchita does not mean that now he can pull off a piece and eat, and he has to wait till it's completely dead. Now, the point is, we're saying that if he eats an Eiv Menachai, then he's not getting Malkus. So, and the reason why is because again, because it's a non-kosher bird, and this Mishnah is according to the Chachamim against Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar, and again, as of either the Chachamim or the Meir, who hold that it doesn't apply to kosher species of to non-kosher species of birds. So Rav Amram says, if you're going to tell me that you require a kazayas, as Rav says, in order to be chayef for even a chay, then he should anyway be getting malchus. Typically, to call for kazayas. After all, he should anyway be getting malchus because he ate a kazayas of a non-kosher bird. Mela, in other words, if you say that for an even a chay you don't need a kazayas, then you could say he ate less than a kazayas. Therefore, there's no malchus for eating a non-kosher bird because for that you need a kazayas, and there's no malchus for even a chay because even a chay is not going to apply to the species of bird. But if you're going to tell me, Rav, that anyway for Eiv Menachai you need a kazayis, once he eats a kazayis, forget about Eiv Menachai. He's already chayev for eating a non-kosher bird. And the answer is, Kidda Omer Rav Nachman, Mashu Abaster. As Rav Nachman says, and we'll learn on Omer Beis, that you can be talking about a limb that only has a tiny bit of flesh on it, the Gidin Vatsomis, the Mashu Abaster, the Gidin Vatsomis. You don't have a kazayis of flesh, but the Gidin Vatsomis make it, the Gidin and bones make it up to a kazayis. So now, the Gidim and the bones don't have a non-kosher flavor in them. On the other hand, it's Eiv Menachai, and therefore the person is Chayev. In other words, Rashi explains, as we're going to learn later on, there's a distinction between Eiv Menachai and Bosom Menachai, and the distinction is that a person is Chayev for Eiv Menachai, even if there's less than a kazayas of flesh on it, as long as the total volume of the aver is a kazayas, even though some of it is made up of bones and Gidim, and vice versa, a person is Chayev for Bosom Menachai, even though it's not a complete aver. So that's the answer over here. Rav Nachman explains further on that we have a case of an aver that only has a tiny bit of flesh on it. That's a gidim ratzomus, and the gidim ratzomus make up the kazayis. Hachanami, mashu bosser, gidim ratzomus, the same way over here. You're talking about there's only a tiny bit of bosser, but the rest of it is made up by gidim and ratzomus. So now there's no kazayis of flesh, so you can't be chayav for eating a non-kosher bird. And again, the Gidim Matzomas don't have a flavor to them. The bones, we said, don't have a flavor. And the Gidim, if we follow the opinion, which is accepted by Halacha, that ain't the Gidim Menosin Tam, then they don't have a taste either. But now, what about Eiv Menachai? He's not Chayav because it's a non-kosher bird. So that would be, but you're right, if it actually had a kazayas of flesh on it, granted, he wouldn't be Chayav for Eiv Menachai because it's a non-kosher bird, but he'd be Chayav for a kazayas of flesh of it. Okay, so therefore, there's no contradiction from that Mishnah on Rav. Well, the Gemara continues. Well, let's bring another proof. The Omer Rav, where Rav himself says, if a person were to eat a kosher bird while it's alive, so Eiv Menachai, so if it's alive, then he's chayev no matter what the size because of Eiv Menachai. Jimmy Sosa, but when it's dead, then he'd be chayev only for a kazayas, because again, my nevela, the Torah says, like, so food, don't eat, and that would mean a kazayas. Well, then, b'chayev b'chol shehu was saying when the creature is alive, when the bird is alive, then b'chol shehu, you don't require a kazayas. Now the idea would be, in other words, that when it's alive, it would be considered a beria, and as we've learned before, beria has a special status, and therefore would be chayev for Eiv Menachai. Once it's dead, it's not considered a beria anymore, because for one thing, one way of looking at it, Rashi explains, because the definition of beria is it was always also. And hey, it wasn't always also as Neveva, only afterwards when it died did it become also. Choice was a few daphim ago and explained a different point that a barrier is one where the Torah gives us a name. There's a certain name which is also, and it doesn't matter the size, but only when it's whole. Once it's cut up, then it's a piece anymore. Nevela, the Torah doesn't distinguish. Nevela is equally also, whether it's whole or whether it's cut up, and therefore it's not considered a barrier. So again, if a person ate a kosher bird while it was alive, then he'd be chayav b'chol shehu, because Eiv Menachai, b'misasa b'kazayis, but if it was when it was dead, then it would be chayav only for kazayis. Utmeya, on the other hand, when it comes to a non-kosher bird, ben b'chayav ben misasa b'chol shehu, whether alive or dead, he'd be chayav kol shehu, because they're the there the issue is for eating a non-kosher bird. So here we're going to say as long as it's whole, then it's still considered a berry. Now, unlike a kosher bird, where it was also on two different grounds while it was alive or whether it was dead. When it was alive, Eiv Min HaChai, when it's dead because of Neveva, with a non-kosher bird, for a Jew, there's no such distinctions. It's always also as Oif Tomei, and therefore either way it's going to be considered a barrier. Anyway, you see that he says, B'chol Shehu, any amount. So therefore that means less than a Kazayas. So what is Rav telling us that a person has to eat a Kazayas of Eiv Min HaChai to be Chayev? And the answer is Hachanami. Here also you can answer Mashu Basar Gidin Matzomas, that it has only a tiny amount of flesh. And the rest of it is made up by Gidim Batzomas, which the Gemara is going to point out. Further down on the Yomud, there are some birds like that that are very scrawny, and most of their bulk is made up by the Gidim Batzomas and very little Basel. So you have several challenges that the Gemara is bringing now on Rav. So far we have two, and I have a couple more. On each one, the Gemara is going to give the same answer. So as we talked about before, Tosfos explains in some places that the idea was that each time the Gemara wants to see, do you have a better answer, or each time do you have to reuse the same answer? The Shalom HaKadosh brings a different point, that these were all, that these questions were all brought up in the Beis Medrash, maybe in the same Beis Medrash, one after the other, maybe even in different Batei Medrash, and the answer ended up being the same with all of them. Okay. Fine. So again, if the Sipur Tehorah had a kazayis on it, then he would be of a flesh, then he'd be chayev. When we say kol shehu over here, we mean there's a kol shehu of flesh, but the total kazayis is made up together with gidim and atzomis, and nevertheless, it's still enough to be mechayev and for eidim and achayev. Okay? The Braisa says, Toshma, let's bring another proof. Braisa says, not of Sipur Shein bekazayis. If a person took a kosher bird that was not a kazayis in size, but ochoy, and ate it without and ate it out, still alive, Rebbe Potter. So Rebbe would say that it's Potter. He wouldn't call it Eiv Min HaChai. He holds that Eiv Min HaChai applies only to an individual limb, not to the creature as a whole. Now, if there was a kazayas, he would be chayev. And we chayev, because anyway, it's a kazayas. It's no worse than Bosser Min HaChai. But here, it's less than a kazayas. So the only one would be defined as Eiv Min HaChai. And Rebbe says that's not considered Eiv Min HaChai. But Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon Machayev. Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon says he's chayev. He holds that this is indeed considered an Eiv Min HaChai. So that's the point of Rashi. Tosfos has some questions and some difficulties on that based on logic, based on other Gemaras. So Tosfos explains the Gemara is going to start describing soon, and the Gemara is going to explain soon. Rebbe's opinion is based on the question of when a creature is alive, is it expected that it's going to be cut up into pieces? So therefore, can we consider it even now that it's considered to be made up of separate pieces? So you could argue at this point, when it's still alive, it's not meant to be yet cut up, and nobody's thinking of cutting it into pieces yet, and it's not yet at the point of anybody thinking of cutting off just pieces of meat from it either. And nevertheless, Rebbe Elazar would say Ischaya, but Rebbe would say that not. So not because not Eiv Min HaChai, but because it's not Eiv Min HaChai, because it's whole, but because it can't be considered an Aver when you haven't even thought of cutting it up yet. As the Gemara is going to explain. So Amar Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon Kavachoymer. So Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon says, what do you mean you should be potter for it? Maybe make a Kavachoymer and say that he should be chayev. I'll even when chayev akula like kol shegen. If he's chayev for eating one limb of it, how much more so he ought to be chayev for eating the whole thing? Then the Braisa continues. This is if he ate it when it's alive. What about chonk of achla? What about if he strangled the bird? So now it wasn't a proper shvita. Now you only have the issue of nevela. Now you only have the issue of nevela. So therefore, divra hakol the kazayas, and everybody's going to agree that he has to eat a kazayas in order to be chayev, because then you have the usual rule. Now nevela again is not going to be beria, because as we said, a beria is only either where it was always osir, or where it has a different name when it's whole versus cut up, whereas nevela does not. So now it wouldn't be a beria, and therefore the usual rule of kazayas applies. Now, so the question on Rav is, Ad kam le pligi ella, so what is the machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, is by when the bird is whole, the mar sof b'chayel le'ivorim emedes, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon holds that a creature, even when it's alive, is eventually meant to be cut up and shafted and cut out into limbs, and therefore each limb can be considered something, can be considered a metzios of its own. It can be called a limb by itself, and therefore each one can be called Eiv Menachai, and he'd be chayev, and we're saying that he'd be chayev for any amount of Eiv Menachai you wouldn't require a kazayis. This is the point. We're going to ask on Rav, where Rav had said you need a kazayis for Eiv Menachai also. So Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon holds that even while it's alive, you can speak of each Eiver as an independent entity. So according to him, he ate the whole bird, is he's going to be chayav only once because there was only one hasra. Mar Sovar, where's Rebbe holds b'chayel lavle evorim emedes, a creature is not thought of as a vorim while it's alive, only when it's shafted. So therefore, it's not yet considered even a chay. It's still just considered a different. It's a different point, in other words. So it's not considered Eiv Menachai yet. So the most you could be Mechai of him is for eating. You can be Mechai of him for Nevela because, but only if it's a Kazayas. See, we're talking about it's less than a Kazayas. Well, that seems to be the question. Dekula Alma, Mia, like burning Kazayas. It seems that everybody agrees you don't need a Kazayas. Because that's what we're saying. That the bird didn't have a kazayas in it, and he ate it. And Rebbe said he'd falter on the ground of Eiv Menachai, and Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon would be mechayev of him. And again, the only question is, do we consider the different parts of it to already be a varim, or do we not yet consider it to be a varim? But they both seem to agree that Eiv Menachai would apply to less than a kazayas. So again, how does that fit with what Rav says that if it's less than a kazayis, the person is not chayiv for Eiv Menachai? And again, the Gemara answers with the same answer as before. Rav Nachman, this is where Rav Nachman originally said his answer. But Mashu Basar, it's talking about where there's only a tiny bit of flesh. Gidim Batsomas and the Gidim and Atsomas and the Gidim and bones make it up to the rest of the kazayis. So therefore, on the grounds of Basar, he would be chayiv. On the grounds of Basar, he wouldn't be chayiv because of kazayis. Because there's no kazayas, only when there's gidim and atzamos. And so when Rav says he's chayev for Eiv Menachai, only when there's a kazayas, it means when there's a kazayas including both of the gidim and atzamos. As opposed to, for any other issue, you would require that there's both of a lot, for example, for a non-kosher bird. So in this case, the bird didn't have a kazayas in it. So then we're saying that what we mean when we say it didn't have a kazayas means the total volume of the bird is more than a kazayas. A kazayas or more, but of that, less than a kazayas is flesh. Okay, so the Gemara asks, now that we've used the same answer a number of times, and we have the original case where Rav Nachman gave this answer, the question is, practically speaking, how do you have a bird that's so scrawny, and in the entire bird, you don't have kazayas of flesh? Over Chad Eiver is kazayas, and yet we're talking about that one limb of it would be a kazayas mashu basa the gidin matzomas by virtue of joining together the flesh and the gidin and the bones. In other words, how do you have a bird that's so scrawny that an individual Eiver will be a kazayas in bulk? But of that kazayas, not only of that kazayas of that limb, the entire bird doesn't even have a kazayas of flesh in it. You ever heard of such a bird? And the answer is, Amr Shravya Ain Klonisa. So Rav Shravya says, yes, you can find there's a type of bird called Klonisa, which is a very scrawny bird. It's a very, very scrawny bird, and yes, it has very little muscle to it, and most of its bulk is made up of bones and gidim. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, though, the Klonisa is a non-kosher bird. Ema Sefer, but look at the rest of the Brayse, the Chonk of Ahla, that if he strangled and ate it, Tiber Hakabu Kazayas, and everybody would agree that he's Chayed only when he eats a Kazayas because Nevela. Well, Klonisa, Oif Tomehu, now isn't the Klonisa a non-kosher bird? But Omer Rav, Tmeya Ben Machayeh Ben Yisasun Machu, and Rav says that when we're talking about eating a whole animal, which was not kosher, whether alive or whether dead, then you're going to have the din of Beria, and then he's Chayed for eating a Machu, okay? So if we're talking about a Klonisa over here, which is a non-kosher bird, then the Braisa shouldn't be distinguishing between whether he's strangled it or not, because either way he's going to be chayiv. So the answer is Ela Ka'en Klonisa. Fine, we don't mean the Klonisa itself, we mean a kosher bird similar to that, which is very scrawny and has very little muscle on it. So that, again, the idea would be the entire bird as a whole has less than a kazayas of flesh in its entire body, but some individual labor of it will add up to a kazayas in bulk once you include the gidim and the bones. Okay. Now, so we said that Rebbe and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon are arguing on the point behemoth v'chaya le'ivonim aimedes. So we say that an animal, even while it's alive, is still considered to be made up of eivorim. Do we already consider that people are thinking of it in terms of cutting it up into eivorim, and therefore each individual piece of it now should be considered an eivor achai, according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, or according to Rebbe, we don't say that. And we say but only if a person actually pulls off an aver of it would be considered aver menachai, as opposed to if he eats the whole thing, then Rebbe would not consider that aver menachai. So the place, you know, Bionis and Ibishitz points out that like this, if you didn't have, what if you didn't have an issue of Eivim and Achai? Now, Bechla, why is there an issue of Eivim and Achai in the first place? In those times, sometimes people would do that. You don't have refrigeration, and as we learned earlier in the Masechta, you might have a person who's going to be shechting a large animal if he doesn't have customers for all the meat, and it's going to spoil, and he's going to have, and he's going to suffer a great loss. So a person might tend to figure, well, then I have a farm animal. Let me pull off a piece of it and eat it while it's alive, and then the rest of the animal will remain alive. If it hadn't been for the issue of Eivim and Achai, a person wouldn't do that. So therefore, so it comes out, so you could look at it, you can look at it that even now, the Torah is telling you every individual limb of it, which you might have thought to pull off, is also on the grounds of Eivim and Achai, whether for a yid or for a ben noyach. Then the opinion of Rebbe that says Lavla Ivonim Medes would be because look, you have an issue of Eivim Achai, so while it's alive, you're not going to be cutting it up into Eivorim. So in other words, so it's not a machlokas of Metzius, it's a machlokas of the halachic standpoint of it. Do we say that do we look at it from the point of view of had there not been an issue of Eivim Achai, or do we look at it from the point of but the fact is there is an issue of Eivim Achai? Okay, so Rava says now we can deduce something from that. So Amar Rava, Im Timtzel Loimar, if you're going to argue and you're going to say Savar Rebbe Machsheves Ofen Shma Machshava, if you're going to find sometimes we have, and we're going to learn in the ninth parak of our Masechta, we're going to talk about that sometimes in order for something to be considered food, there has to be machshava about it. There has to be that a person has to plan to eat it. Now, normally, most foods, you don't need to do that. Most foods are by default edible and nobody needs any machshava. But sometimes you have certain things we'll talk about in the ninth parak, Pesach Hashem, where you have things that are marginal, things that most people wouldn't eat, but nevertheless, if a person thinks about it, then it might become food. Well, does it or not? So Rava says, Im Tinsalaimer, if you're going to analyze it and you're going to ever find that Sava Rebbe Machsheves Ofen Shma Machshava, that Rebbe would hold that when a person thinks about something which is only marginally edible and he thinks about it, that he plans to eat it, and that it's considered that an effective Machshava, and therefore that food now becomes food as far as the dinim of Tumas Ofen, etc., then it would come out, says Rava, if you have such an opinion, chishiv la'uchla, eva. So now, if the person decided on this little scrawny bird that doesn't have a kazayas of flesh, and he planned to eat it one limb at a time, va'ochla kula, and in the end he ate the whole thing, chayev, then even Rebbe would have to hold that he's chayev, because it's the whole reason why Rebbe said before that he's potter, when he eats the whole thing, is because the whole thing cannot be considered an eva, and the animal and the bird, while it's alive, is not considered la'ivarim. But if you were to say that Rebbe would hold that a person's machshava is able to change the status of something, so that if he planned to eat it all as one aver at a time, then indeed we would say that machshava would be significant, and now we would say that when he eats the bird, it's considered that he ate a vorim of it, and therefore he can be chayev even if there wasn't a kazayas of flesh, provided, as Rav said, that there was a kazayas of altogether flesh and gidim and atzamis.
Yeah.
However, Amalei Abaye, but Abaye says, how does that work? What's the logic? If somebody else were to eat it who didn't have that machshava, he wouldn't be chayev, because Eivim and Achai, according to Rebbe, and now this one person eats it, he becomes chayev. What's the logic? Amalei, so Rava says, yeah, Zelafi machshavte v'zelafi machshavte. Each one goes according to his machshava. Each one had a different machshava about it, and therefore Rava says that if we tease out Rebbe's logic, then we would say that yes, it would have to be that way. Provided again that Rebbe holds of this concept that a person's machshava is able to make something food where otherwise it wouldn't have been. V'amar Rava, and Rava also says in this connection the flip side of it. Im Tim Tzolaima Savar Rav Elazar Rav Shimon Machshavas Eitzon Shma Machshava. if you were going to say, what if you can find an opinion someplace that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon holds that a thought about food is enough to make it food? So then we would say, Chishuv lo'uchlam mesa. So now if he intended to eat the bird when it was dead, showing, in other words, that he doesn't plan to break it up into a vodim while it's alive. So in other words, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon would say normally behema b'chayei levorim emedes, that even when it's alive, the intention is that it's going to be cut up into pieces. But now, let's say he intended to leave it until it's dead, or shechted, as the case may be, and only then cut it up, showing that he doesn't hold behema b'chayei levorim emedes. If you're going to say that this person does not hold that this person does not plan the levorim. Then if he would eat the whole thing alive, potter, then Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon would have to say he's potter, because again, then his makshava prevented it from becoming individual levarim. Again, Amalei Abaya, so Abaya asks, how does that work? How do you have a case if somebody else were to eat it, he would be chayav, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, potter, and yet if this guy eats it, he's potter. Amalei, and Rabbi gives him the same answer, zelachimakshavte. With each person, it goes according to his machshava. So yes, the persons, different people can have different machshavas about whether this is considered food or not, and that is going to have implications in terms of what the din of it is for each one of them. Now, you do have such a concept when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos. You have, for example, with various kinds of things in Hilchos Shabbos, you have different things. If a person carries out a certain small amount of something, he's not necessarily chayav for it. Each kind of thing. You have a long list in Mishnayos Shabbos and Gemara Shabbos of different minimum amounts for different things. But nevertheless, you can have, let's say, a person who, let's say, for example, with food, the minimum is generally a kigrigeris, the size of a dried fig. But suppose you have a person where a small amount of some food is particularly significant for him for some reason, and he sets it aside and then carries it out on Shabbos, he's going to be chayev, nobody else would. So we see there is that concept of that for different people, you go according to their makshavas. But Abaya had argued that you can apply that to Hilchos Shabbos, because you have a concept of malachas makshavas, also a Torah. The Torah asks is only when you do the malacha with a certain makshavas, to it, would it necessarily apply to other areas of halacha as well? And Robert tells him, yes, it would apply in this area as well, and it's going to make a difference whether he's going to be chayav malchus for eating this bird whole or not, as the case may be, as we were discussing. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we'll continue discussing more about this matter of Eiv Menachai, and we're also going to start talking about Bosom Menachai.